Glacier Bank's totally free checking saves you both time and money. Visit your nearest Glacier Bank office today. There's a convenient location near you. Glacier Bank, member FDIC, and an equal housing lender. And today from DNRC, we welcome Ernie Nace. Good morning, Ernie.
Hi, Ernie.
Hey, guys. Good to see you again.
Good to see you, too.
I saw you at the downtown Super One toward the tail end of the last fire season. I think there was activity to the west, and I thought, I bet you he's grabbing something to go.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and we're always, we use, you know, local places around to get firefighters or meals, too. So that's always a good.
All right.
Yeah. Okay, so we are in open burning season.
Yep.
Even
yep.
though it doesn't look like it.
No, we are starting to get that snow to melt here. So it's going to be more and more available to burn. You know, we're about 15 days or so into open burning. So March and April is open burning. Come May and June, we do require a permit.
Yeah.
And then once we start getting into those summer months, there'll be no open burning.
Yeah.
So now's that time to get that fuel around the house cleaned up and stuff.
Okay, now it's been kind of a weird winter in a way. You know, we had that heavy wet snow that broke all kinds of tree branches and everything. I had all of my burning debris already burned, and now I've got a mountain of it awaiting. But the ground has been frozen so long with snow that even with this melt-off, I have lakes of water at my place.
Yeah.
I guess spring will be here when it suddenly disappears and is in the ground. But is that going to create any kind of more hazardous wildfire conditions this winter that we've had?
Yeah, I heard we were breaking records with the number of days of snow on the ground. So, you know, as it melts off, you know, there's going to be some more moisture in the soil, probably helping us out this spring. This open burning usually kind of kicks off our fire season once it gets dry enough.
Seems like there's, with it being as wet as it's going to be, the material is probably going to be a lot of smoke involved.
Yep. Yeah. You know, if you had a chance to cover your piles, that's always a good bet. Come springtime when you are ready to burn. But hopefully a lot of these piles and debris have had a year to dry out, ideally. But yeah, now is the time to get rid of it. You know, air quality is something that needs to be abided by. You know, the valley here tends to sock in the smoke. So. Yeah. Making sure that you're managing the air quality by calling air quality and making sure it's a good day to burn is always recommended.
Now, open burning is through when?
Open burning will be through the end of April.
Okay.
Yeah. And keep in mind now, our open burning is only in the unincorporated areas of Flathead County. It does not include the cities of Whitefish, Kalispell, and Columbia Falls.
Yep. There's no burning in city limits.
Okay. Now, is there permitted burning beyond the end of April?
The end of April, we start getting into that May June. So a permit will be required.
Okay.
And then we roll into the actual fire season. So okay. So you won't be able to burn at all.
So I want to understand here that so at April you don't need a permit through the end of April.
Correct.
After April 30th, May 1st,
yep.
You need a permit.
Correct.
Yeah. What does it take to get one of those permits?
Typically, you go to our fire Safe Kalispell website,
mm-hmm.
Which towards the end of this last year, we started having some hiccups with it and whatnot. So so this year, hoping to roll out here come May, we'll be able to get permits through the actual state permit system, which Department of Health Air Quality is going to be running that website.
Oh, okay.
So it'll be a little switch up, but when the details are all figured out, our Fire Safe Kalispell website will be able to direct you right where everyone needs to go.
I recall getting a permit this last year. There was kind of a problem, but I got it through the website. And they want to know which fire district or, you know, where you're located. And you have to have a hose and a bucket and a shovel and tend the fire. But and call the air quality hotline before you burn.
Exactly. You know, when we're dealing with these debris burns, it's usually an escape debris burn, a holdover, or just an illegal burn. So that's kind of the three categories that usually fall in. But it's usually not checking the weather, you know, knowing what if the wind's going to pick up that next day or not having enough people. So, those are all things that, burners need to take serious because if when you light that match, you are responsible for the fire.
So let's move on to protecting our home this fire season, and Ernie Nace is going to talk with us about that after this. Today we're talking to Ernie Mace. Ernie Mace is part of what we do at DNRC. Ernie, talk with us a little bit about protecting our homes now as we move into the fire season.
Yeah, so if you guys recall our big fire last year in July, that Elmo 2 fire down by the lake, that was a good example of, you know, the importance of getting it cleaned up and ready for fire season. That was the biggest fire in Montana last year.
Really?
I think they lost 8 structures on that. That's right in our backyard. So it's really the small things that save the homes. You know, most people think it's that big flaming front, but it's actually all the embers. Landing in those susceptible areas around the home that end up getting the home ignited. We tell homeowners, we look at it and we call it the home ignition zone. It's creating that defensible space around your home. And we look at it in 3 different zones, kind of those bubbles around your house. And the whole concept of it is really just to get fire behavior to a minimum before it reaches your structure.
Okay, now we have a lot of people that have moved in from out of state, and they may be going, well, we really like the rural setting, the trees, and we own 10, 20 acres. Tell them about the zones, what they need to do.
Yeah, the most important zone is that zone 1, kind of right around the structure itself. Again, it's those embers falling in, so it's creating that, right over that first 5 feet or right around that structure is real non-combustible, whether it be, mineral soil, rock. It's putting those wood chips and landscaping bark right up to the structure that allows those embers to come in, smolder, and if the firefighters can't get back in time, those smoldering fires turn into big fires that end up burning homes down.
So yeah, you mentioned the embers, and I think it's important to remember that Sperry Chalet, it was the embers that got it, not the fire.
Yep, exactly. There's just so many vulnerable arrows when it comes to a home. In that first zone, it's all about the little things. It's, all the way down to the welcome mat on your doorstep. In the middle of fire season, you're taking off for a vacation, you leave that out. You might get that one ember to come down, right? So
on your welcome the patio mat. Furniture. Oh my gosh, I'd never thought of that.
Welcome.
Patio furniture on a deck, is a big one to look out for.
Oh my gosh.
Cleaning out those gutters, basically doing that spring maintenance, which is why I'm here talking to you guys today. It's a great time to get out there. That next zone out is starting to create that spacing in between the trees, limbing up your ladder field so that fire can stay on the ground where the firefighters can come in and do good work. And then as you spread out kind of into that zone 3, we're starting to cluster our trees. We're getting good crown spacing. Anytime you could put a path or, there's a road system within your property, it's always a good, way to break up the field so it's not continuous.
Mm-hmm. And, so, it's interesting because I have a lot of ponderosa pine trees on my property. And with the wind, even when there's snow on the ground, it's depositing pine needles. So as the melt-off happens, it's time to rake and get that stuff away from your house because that is a great kindling that a fire can start on.
Yeah, those ponderosa pines, man, they're a booger sometimes. They create a lot of pine needles. And when they're right next to the house, that's a little maintenance issue, but... Yeah. Well, but, exactly. Now's the time to clean up and get ready because you don't want to have that bad day like some of those guys last year.
Well, we don't. And we talk about a bad day. Maybe the worst day that you're ever going to have in your home is the day you have to evacuate. And we'll talk about how we prepare for that right after this.
Our guest today from the DNRC, Ernie Nace, Department of Natural Resources. What does the C stand for? I forget.
Conservation.
Conservation, of course. And so that's all a part of it, being prepared during fire season. John mentioned it. Nobody plans for a fire or an emergency, but the best plans you can make is like the fire drill when you were a kid at school, you know, knowing what you're going to do. What are your suggestions regarding that, Ernie?
Well, you know, there's really two scenarios that's going to unfold when it comes to evacuating. There's a scenario where, you know, we have a fairly large fire. We can use Elmo as an example, where, you know, it's kind of marching across the landscape, and you have the heads up. You have maybe a 24 or 48 hour notice to evacuate and get ready. You know, you kind of see it coming, so to speak. And then the scenario where you're at Costco and you get a call from the neighbor saying, hey, the neighbor's property is on fire, and yeah, you maybe don't even have time to get home, right? So that scenario is probably more likely, you know. So with that being said, it's all about the prep work, right? Just like talking about getting ready with the house, it's like, well, we need to also be thinking about that worst day on evacuation. You know, have you got that emergency bag ready? Have you and your family, you know, kind of made a plan? You know, decided where you guys are going to meet up if you get separated. Mm-hmm. You know, how everyone's going to contact each other.
That's an important point, because everybody may not be at home when you get the word to leave.
Yeah, I know. You know, some of the neighbors I've talked to up in Whitefish, their meeting spot is the big Safeway up there. Mm-hmm. You know, we'll all just meet at the Safeway, and then typically, you know, if that is a scenario, the always the big question is, well, when do I leave? Do I need to leave? Right. Mm-hmm. And, you know, in Montana, you do have the right to stay on your property. But, you know, there's those times where sometimes it's a lot better than chancing it. If they tell you to go, just go, right?
Yeah, Harry Truman had the right to stay on the mountain there at Spirit. You know, when the volcano
went.
And
he's still on the mountain.
Yeah. But
buried under hundreds of feet of lava.
Now, when you talk about evacuations, you mentioned having a go bag, and they always say have your prescriptions and all that. I guess I would just have to throw them into a bag, because they don't give you additional prescriptions, so you can have them ready to go.
Yeah, always good to have, you know, an extra little bit on hand. But, you know, just even having a list ready to where, mm-hmm. you know, if this happens, these are the things I feel I need to grab.
Now, what about insurability? Likely you have homeowner insurance. I guess they suggest that you film or actually take pictures of your property.
Doing a home inventory of, you know, everything in your structure is recommended, you know, and that can be time-consuming and whatnot, and tedious, but, you know, having that documented with serial numbers, everything to where... you know, you are able to file that claim later on if you do lose stuff.
Well, prevention is worth a pound of cure. That's for sure.
All right. Well, Ernie, we got a fire season ahead, and of course, the $64,000 question is always: are we going to have a bad one this year? And you've got no idea.
Yeah, you guys always ask me, right? Yeah. I don't have my magic ball today, as I usually tell you guys, but you know, with kind of what I've been hearing, you know, and having still the snow on the ground, a little bit of normal snowpack, I think our spring's going to kind of be a little slower than usual this year. But, man, it's hard to say come, you know, July, August. Yeah, Last year was, you know, we got that lightning kind of out of nowhere.
Oh, yeah.
That kind of kept us busy on that end of things.
Back in November, I think that's when we got the big snow, I thought, oh, maybe we'll have an early spring, but it hasn't worked out that way. We've actually had a longer winter season than in decades, I think.
Yeah, that's what I had heard the other day, that we're breaking marks. We're right in like the 10th longest time that we've had snow. So,
all right. Well, I hope that folks will take your advice this morning and get ready, because, you know, we may skate right through it. Then again, we may not.
Yep, I would just say everyone, you know, be extra careful out there. Something I do during the days in my normal job is I go out and take a look at structures and do home assessments. So, you know, if you are needing or wanting that expert advice on some of these things, you can always give me a call at the DNRC, 406-751-2270.
And how much does such a thing as that cost?
That's a free service that we offer.
I knew it was. But yep. I knew everybody would enjoy hearing that.
Yep. Nope. That's a free service. You know, it's just important for us to get out there and get our fire protection as good as we can.
So, oh, well, thanks, Ernie.
All right. Thank you, Ernie. We appreciate it. From DNRC, it's Glacier Bank's Community Conversations, a service of Glacier Bank, where your checking is totally free. Just about